Time is 12 minutes past the hour of 8. Joining me in studio, Ian Bessarabi. Very good morning to you, firstly.
Morning, Howard. Certainly a very fluid day, and as you say, a lot happening. Just keeping an eye on everyone and everything there. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when we focus on focusing on the future of work, one of the conversations and one of the difficulties, certainly that I know I personally experienced as a younger person, and it had to evolve as I got older, was defining your career by other people's expectations. And an example of that, and I do mention it in one of my books, but I was offered to go overseas to continue with a master's program at one of the Ivy League universities in order to study literary theory. And when I presented it to my parents, it was met with absolute shock and horror and almost disgust, because what, you're going to become an academic? That's not how you earn a living. Anyway, eventually I just sort of kind of bottled that away, locked it up, and went on to do my LLB, which of course I don't regret, but it was interesting that was a very much a defining moment, and it took me 20 years to circle back to writing and to doing something that I was absolutely passionate about. And this happens, this plays out in every aspect, at every age, in every household, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Howard. And as an executive coach, that I find that with many of the clients and people that I work with, is that the example that you've just shared is not dissimilar to many people. And there's a bit of humor, that comes into it. And there's the saying that says, when growing up, Jewish mothers give you three options: one, to be a doctor; two, to be a lawyer; or three, to be a failure. You know, so, that's very tongue in cheek. And to all my doctor and lawyer friends, don't take personally, especially you, Howard. But I think you're right, Howard. When we reflect, I don't think any of us, or I don't know a lot of people that regret what they've done or the path that they took. But yet, as you get older and you become more wise to the world, and probably you look at things differently, is you probably do think that you would have done things differently, and perhaps taking a different trajectory. And if you would have taken that path of following that master's program, you may have written your books earlier, you know, or you may have done things earlier, you know. Mm. That doesn't mean to say that you haven't had a fulfilled life or career. But I think the one thing that is so true is what you say, is we live our lives based on other people's expectations. And I think expectations are very dangerous. We set sometimes unrealistic expectations for ourselves. And by doing that, what happens is we never truly celebrate success, is because success never translates into what we expect. So every time something good happens, because it doesn't measure up to what other people or ourselves have expected, we pass it by, or it misses us. So I think the fact that we don't live authentic lives, we don't follow our purpose or follow our dreams, is actually an inhibitor. And unfortunately, society has a large role to play in that.
The danger with that is, you know, when I had this conversation with my parents, I was 20 years old, and you do listen, and you do need to listen to other people who have been around just a little bit longer than you, and maybe understand the world realistically a lot better than you. It's very difficult to say, well, you know what, I'm going to pursue my dream irrespective of what you tell me.
And that's a very important point. And I found certainly one of the ways to, I wouldn't say counterbalance that, but to manage it, is, and I think Zanati mentioned it in one of the quotes earlier this morning after one of the news segments, was that with power comes responsibility. Mm. And I would change that slightly. With choice comes responsibility. And what that means is that if you, as an individual, decide on a certain path, acknowledge and respect that you need to own that. And what I mean by that is that you can go around and ask many people for their advice or for their input and all of that, but at the end of the day, you need to make that decision. And I think that we often, to our detriment also, is we kind of use it as an easy out by saying, well, I didn't do so well at law. I didn't do so well at commerce because my parents made me do it. Or I'm a failure because somebody else gave me that bad advice.
Yeah, this whole victimhood.
And I think we have to get out of that. And I think we also need to get out of this mindset that we aren't empowered. Even though you say you're 20 years old, you haven't had experiences. You haven't had all this stuff. I think if we look at what we've got available to us in terms of access to people and access to information. Today, you can reach out to somebody you could never reach out to 20 years ago and get their input. The big question is, what do you do with that input and how do you process it and how do you take that on board objectively and make it part of your purpose?
Yeah, I'd love your thoughts on that. 345-019 or 061-895-1019. And of course, it takes a tremendous amount of courage before you take a path that other people might look at a little bit differently to how you do. I'd love your thoughts on it. It is 819. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9. Taking a look at some of your messages. Vicky says, I know of someone who got A's, got the degree, and then said to her mom, stick it on your wall. I'm now going to do what I want to. And that is to become a game ranger. Don't you love that? That is actually incredible. I see how there are people around who stop their daughters from going into degrees like medicine because it's not a good profession for a woman. If your child can make a difference in their chosen career and they are passionate about it, don't let your prejudice inhibit your children. I love this message.
Thanks, Al. That for me is exactly, it sums up what we've been talking about is we need to encourage and to build self-esteem, to build, like you said, courage.
I think a lot of this is about courage.
Absolutely.
It's about courage. It's about self-esteem. It's about being able to say, you know, this is my passion and I know I'm aware of the difficult, you know, it's people who choose to go into music or go into the dramatic arts in some way. It is very, very difficult to make a living. It is a hard life, but sometimes people are unable to change them to help themselves. Zanati, you used to work as a currency trader.
Yes, I was actually just about to say, just because you go into your purpose doesn't mean that you're going to be, it's going to be peaches and roses.
Exactly, it's hard. You were a currency trader and you made a decision. And I remember when you did it because you try to do both at one point.
Yeah.
And then you said, enough. I'm actually just going full steam ahead into something that's my passion.
Exactly.
And tell us about that from your perspective.
I actually even like what Ian said, that you must own your choices. So I was forced to study a serious degree in inverted commas by my mother. But the thing is, I'm actually even glad that I did. I actually don't regret it. Just like you said, that you don't regret doing your LLB. Because actually I find that sometimes I'll go into spaces in the media industry where I'm actually even taken more seriously.
Because you've got the background. Yeah.
Exactly.
And yeah, you're not just a dumb blonde.
No, and it actually, because the thing is, it also just gives me peace of mind that if I were ever to get tired of, you know, the media space, or I can always go back into corporate. So, yeah.
But taking the decision to go this route was a very passionate decision. But yet you knew that it was going to come with
one day, exactly. Mm. And the thing is, it was literally, it had been a thing in my head for about 3 years.
Yeah. to do this.
Mm. Yeah, for about 3 years. And then even when my boss actually, because I was working in PE, and when he said that, how's about you get a transfer to Joburg? I was coming to work for them in Joburg, but I knew that I'd be pursuing my passion on the side.
Oh, sneaky.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I knew that I'd be pursuing my passion on the side, and then eventually I was doing both of them. It was very, very hard. For a full 9 months, I was literally going from radio to corporate, doing that every single day.
I remember when you were doing that, and it caused a real, real stress for you. I remember.
Exactly.
You didn't feel you could do either properly.
Yeah.
And that's also, Ian, that's also a problem with it, is although I have to tell you that when I coach people or I mentor people, I often say to them, you know, take things slowly. And I find that often people in corporates have a passion, but they don't have to give it all up, their corporate life up, in order to feel filled by their passion. In other words, if somebody is a musician and they happen to be working, I don't know, at a bank or a technology company or an investment fund, whatever it would be, you can actually do both, but make sure that you carve out a space that you can continue feeding that passion. I think that's very important.
So Howard, there's something very, very important that I tell people, and that's be kind to yourself. And what I mean by being kind to yourself is don't be too harsh. And Zanati mentioned a very important thing, that we assume, and assume is probably a terrible, one of the worst words. I think it should be scrapped out of the dictionary, but we assume that people take us more serious because we've got a degree, or people will assume we're better than we think because we wear a suit or we do this. And the thing is that those things are other people's expectations. And if we keep, living in that world and we say, oh, but I'd love to just get up and show people that I can play the guitar, but people will not take me seriously. Or they think, what's this corporate guy playing a musical instrument? Yet that may be the most liberating and the most, profound moment in your life, is because people go, oh my word, I never knew Howard could play the guitar. You can't play the guitar, can you, Howard?
I can play the guitar.
Oh, can you? Okay. So why don't you ever play the guitar in the studio?
Because we've got real musicians.
I might upset Ronnie even more.
Right, exactly.
No,
right.
But on a
you
on
think
a
if Ronnie's complaining with that, wait until I actually play the guitar in studio. No, I happen to love music. I play guitar and piano.
And that's the thing, is that in a corporate environment, you may feel that's not what you're supposed to be, because
it's interesting. Yeah. No, so whereas I play guitar and I used to play piano a lot better than I do today, it isn't a passion. It's something that I do and I enjoy, and I really did enjoy doing it a lot more when I was younger. But it isn't something that, it's not a need, and it's not something that fills me. So, but other things are, you know, if I look at the course of my own journey, maybe had I written more and become more vocal and in certain areas, I wouldn't have needed to go through a dramatic life change that I went through, in my mid-40s or early 40s.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's the difference that we're finding. And we'll come back to this after the news, is about how we take too long to decide.
Interesting indeed. The University of Virginia has announced that it would be eliminating the 21-gun salute from its Veteran Day ceremony because they did not want to cause any trauma to students who might hear the gunshots.
Of course. Triggers their anxiety.
So triggering, isn't it? A 21-gun salute. Very, very triggering. One is that it would be disruptive to classes. And two, unfortunately, with gun violence in the United States, there was some concern that we would cause panic if someone heard gunshots on the ground. That's according to Jim Ryan, the college president. The decision was made by the office along with the university's ROTC program. The Veterans Day program had included a 21-gun salute for over a decade. And with that, Ian Basarabi, how on earth is anybody going to ever be able to make a courageous decision if we are teaching our children to have zero resilience?
So Howard, I think that's...
under the bus.
Under the bus. Yeah. Geez, I think that's a double-decker bus. That for me is where the noise of society, and I call it noise because the real world is such a overwhelming experience, which many people don't realize. And what happens is you go out there and you read an article like this, and now you think to yourself, oh my word, I'm now an anxious person because all these people in America are worried what a gun salute. Now that's another thing to add to my list. You know, and we become like almost a bit of a hypochondriac in a way, but a I don't know if there's a word.
An emotional hypochondriac.
An emotional hypochondriac.
It's actually interesting. I think you could be right.
And that's the problem is then we actually become less confident in ourselves and we start listening less to ourselves. And I think that's the greatest problem we faced is that we feel that we need to accept what society tells us is right. So all of a sudden, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this. All of a sudden, all those things you kind of felt, well, that's actually not a bad thing. Now all of a sudden seems to be a bad thing. And for me, that's where I don't discourage people from asking for feedback. Look out, getting feedback is valuable. I think, living in our own world and not asking for people for feedback is dangerous, but it's up to us.
Well, criticism, you know,
absolutely.
And it's something that I do some talking on, some lectures on, is that criticism is actually very, very powerful and very helpful, provided that it's there to help you improve. If criticism is there just to take you down or destroy you, then you've got to discount it. You've actually got to ignore it completely if it's just pure insult. But if there's a reason, if you're immature enough and resilient enough to say, hold on, what is it that you're actually saying to me? Is there part of this that I can change and I can improve? And if we're working towards a similar goal, which is, let's say, my improvement, if you're my boss or if you're somebody that is supervising me, then we can do absolutely wonders with it. If it's just there to take you down, well, that's a whole different story.
So that's the whole point about taking that feedback, and it's what you do with that feedback. And I often distinguish between what we hear and what we listen to. So what we hear is just, I guess, the negative and the criticism. When we naturally drawn towards all the bad things and things, and that's why they say good news doesn't sell newspapers. You know, that's why bad headlines is because we get attracted to the negative. It's part of our human. I don't know what it's made up
DNA,
of. DNA, yeah. Probably. Mm. But I think at the end of the day, the only person that can make yourself happy is yourself.
In a studio is Ian Bessarabi. Not an easy slot for you this morning, Ian, and I do apologize for that. Yeah. But you know, this is how live radio works when something develops and when news, especially news like this, evolves. We have to make sure that we are covering it.
Absolutely, Howard, and I'm equally following all the various feeds and that, and it's actually incredible. Once again, what access we do have to information, and it's overwhelming. You know, trying to draw a parallel is that we need to digest this. You know, it's all very well to open up a million browsers and try and follow the news. And we need to focus. And I can see that you're far more diligent than me. You're only following two or three there. I'm trying to follow a million here and I'm overwhelmed. I think
it's important exactly, as you say, to do that, just to make sure. And that, you know, a few people have said to me, have you got the app on your phone that buzzes every time there's a rocket alert? No, I haven't.
No.
Because I find that too overwhelming and too distracting, and it doesn't help me in my job, which is to convey news. The fact that's almost an emotional response that we keep hearing sirens over and over again, but it doesn't help me convey to people what is going on. It is 8:57. I'm going to end with I think an amazing song and very, very appropriate. It's Meir Green with Ki Ani Yehudi, because I am a Jew.